Metabolab, your biohack, a podcast where metabolic, cellular health is the priority.
Mindset, sleep cycle, nutrition, fitness, mitochondria, anti-aging, hormone disruptors, oxidative stress, fasting, ketosis, genomic-based precision medicine.
Biohacking is not simply a trend, it's the way to a longer, more abundant life. It is not just the future of health science, it is the future of medicine.
Welcome to the podcast, Metabolab, your biohack, with your host, Dr. Heather Bartlett, a healthcare innovator, disruptor, physician, and entrepreneur with a laser focus on using science to our cellular advantage. And without further delay, here's your host, Dr. Bartlett.
Okay, nobody gets to judge us. Yeah, we're wearing the same clothes. Maybe this is just our favorite outfit. I can't tell you. But anywho, this is all about getting to know us in hopefully a non-boring, uneventful way. I mean, we can only try so hard, but let's give it a go, Berg. Let's see if we can get people to understand how we got here. What's going on in our life? Why do we care about this?
Yeah.
I'm going to let you go first.
Burgundy Michelli, born and raised in Columbus, Ohio. Now I live in Missoula, Montana. I mean, it's hard. It's interesting. It's hard to pare down your life story. Like, how did I get here? My God, like so many different things that I can think about throughout my life, not even just in the past 3 years. I am currently a massage therapist. I have my own yoga studio and I've had my own yoga studio for about 7 years now. Where I'm at is, I can honestly say, so in the last episode, we talked about getting rid of the friction points. First of all, acknowledging, figuring out what your friction points are. Mm-hmm. And so I can think of like two or three major life decisions that I made. One of the biggest ones was in 2013 or 14, I quit my corporate job, making six figures, good money, working 80 hours a week, high stress, working in healthcare IT industry, which I still am, but I'm a consultant now and I'm free range chicken. But what happened was I was talking to my family, my uncle, my cousins and all of that. And I remember having a conversation where my cousin, who is very wealthy, very well off on and doing all the great things. I remember I asked him to help me with investing, and because I'd never done it before. And so he said, well, you know, part of this, I'll need to know how much money you make. So I told him, he's like, oh my God, I am so proud of you. That stabbed me in the heart, actually, because then my value was tied to how much money I was making. Oh my God. And there's no way that he could recognize that that actually was the worst thing for me to hear at the time, or the best thing, depending on how you interpret that. But
sure.
So within months, so I made the decision. I was like, that is terrible. I don't want to be tied. I don't want my value and my personal self-worth to be tied to how much money I make, because for so long it had been. And in truth, I remember going through this whole process. I read the book, Color Is Your Parachute. This is decades old. I think my mom read it to try to figure out what she wanted to do.
It's still a good one.
Yeah. And like, so it, one of the things that I got from this book, because it's kind of a workbook, was write down three things that you're passionate about or three things you really enjoy. You know, I tell people, like, I'm embarrassed to say that it took me so long at that time to figure out. So my three passions were, I like to help people, but that's kind of vague. I like to teach and I love yoga. And so, because at the time I was working in healthcare IT and I was teaching doctors and nurses how to use electronic health records. And I was actually helping them to use their computers. Like, because we were still paper charts. And I remember working with nurses and trying to show them how to use a mouse and they didn't understand which hand and was it a foot pedal, like all the things.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I hear you on this because I was one of the last doctors as a resident that I was literally in residency from the transition of paper charts starting into electronic. So it was like still scan your notes, but everything else was electronic. So yes, painful time. Continue.
Yes.
Just showed my age.
But I loved it. Yes. But I loved it. And so like one morning I had a regular yoga practice for a long time, my own personal yoga practice. I never went to a class. I did it in my house and all that jazz. And I remember one morning I'm doing my yoga practice and I'm like, oh my God, put those three things together. I'm going to be a yoga teacher. It did not occur to me. I didn't care the lack of money or whatever. Anyway, so I gave my work 6 weeks notice, quit my job. In that meantime, though, I was figuring out like, where am I going to get, like, how do you become a yoga teacher? So I did all the research, flew out to Santa Barbara. So put in my notice. My last day of work was, I think, like August 14th, August 15th.
But who's counting?
August 15th, I'm on a plane to Santa Barbara for 16 days in the mountains of Santa Barbara. I'd never been to California before. And I was eating just this vegan diet, organic vegan, sitting on the floor, living in a yurt. It was glorious. So I went from this high tech, high stress, always mm-hmm. like my cell phone was always there. I was always highly accessible, instant messaging, email, texting, all the things, to none of it. And it was amazing. Like, oh, the drain. So anyway, I made a choice, a life decision, to live off of one third of the dollar amount that I made. And I did it, and I've never made, and that was 7 years, actually technically 8 years ago when I did that. And I have never regretted that decision. I have been self-employed since then. Yes, I am back in the healthcare IT industry doing that. I've owned a yoga studio, still do. So I do multiple things all at the same time. And that's what I prefer. I've got this like calm, doing massage, teaching yoga. And then I've got this high tech thing where I'm like modifying people's healthcare records. This is not my first podcast, but I enjoy doing this kind of thing as well. So I'm doing all the things that I love still. And one of the things that occurred to me during, I was in meditation yoga teacher training. We were in this weird class and I was told to go into the cave of my heart. And so I did. And three phrases popped into my mind and my heart. And it was, honor your energy, honor your passions, honor your authentic self. And from that point forward, business decisions, life decisions, relationship decisions, I have followed those three things. Those are the main things that I live by. So anyway, somewhere in there, you and I met at a
health fair.
Yeah.
Yep.
You were at the table across from me. I can't remember how we started talking.
And you were nice enough that you had more duct tape. And so you kept putting it back on there. That's how we met. I would walk away to go mingle. And then I came back and Berg had fixed my sign one more time, like a saint. And I was like, well, clearly we have to be friends. And then, happened.
Yeah. So. And then you became my doctor because at the time you're a direct primary care doctor, and that's what I wanted and needed. And
she's disclosing this. This is her decision.
Yes, it is my decision. And honestly, like that was also one of the best decisions for me because, again, having been in the healthcare industry for so long, I know the gripes about things, whatever. And the fact that you didn't take health insurance made a big difference in that. But also, you just sitting there and listening to me. I remember you told me, write down your list of things. We're going to go through them all, put the top three at the top. We're going to hit those first. And the fact that you just listened to me, because I'm used to like, you're scheduled for an appointment and really you get to see the doctor for 7 minutes if you're lucky. And I get it because they got to churn through and they get a bill and all this stuff. And instantly, like that already like shed things. It was just having a physician listen to me truly. We started to collaborate.
You were not
things.
The first person that said that. And that is that is a true thing being heard.
Oh my gosh. Yes, it is. And I think that goes in a lot of avenues in life, but in healthcare for sure. We started to collaborate on things. And then I made the decision to move my yoga studio. I moved it into the new building you bought for your practice because you moved as well. I was upstairs, you were downstairs. I did my Thai massage upstairs and had yoga classes. It was a great little thing. And then the world's universal things happened, and I found Missoula. I'm not ashamed to say I moved here for a man.
You missed a very key point here. That is a good point, too. Yes. You shouldn't have any shame about that at all. No. But we got to know each other because we would have coffee talks as we were able. And we realized the more we started talking about my world of allopathic medicine, even though I was in a different space as far as a billing model and access, and your experience of what you were seeing with your clients is between massage and yoga, that there were these worlds that were kind of circling and colliding. And I think this is what hopefully we're going to try to accomplish here, is that like there needed to be a bigger intersection of discussion about this space.
Yep.
Yeah. So we lost you to Montana, but then we got you back here. So we're fine.
Yeah.
And that was a huge thing for you. And that was an amazing change for you.
Yeah. I had lived in Columbus for 43 years of my life since I was born. And I stayed, and I'm sure many people have the same experience. So I stayed in Columbus for my family. So my grandparents were, and I don't mean to say it like this, but they finally went, they passed. And then my mom died, and then there was nothing else keeping me there. And then, as I discussed in the last episode, and then my boyfriend at the time of 16 years, we broke up. And I shut down my life, took 3 months to do that, closed down the studio, fixed up my house, sold my house, did all that, moved out here, drove here with my two cats and a friend of mine. And on January 1st, 2020, rolled into Missoula, and 3 months later, the world shut down because of COVID. and that was interesting. And I'm sure we'll talk plenty about things related to that. And you and I hadn't really talked. Well, you guys, I saw you guys.
Yeah.
A little bit.
Yeah. We did a cross country trip with our little teardrop camper and stopped in Missoula to say hi to Berg.
Sure,
she's doing okay. She's thriving.
That was awesome. Mm-hmm. And then we hadn't really talked a whole lot. Oh, that's right. We did have oysters. Those were good.
in Missoula. Amazing oysters. You know.
Yeah, that's rare. Yeah. And then here we are. And yes, and I think that the intersection between the yoga world, the wellness space, and it's funny to me, and this is I've always struggled with the fact that health and wellness are two different things. Like, I don't understand why we talk about, when I say we're talking about wellness, then I feel like we're talking about yoga and massage and things that are like questionable, and it doesn't take a whole lot to be a massage therapist or a yoga teacher or whatever. It takes plenty to be a good one, and you do have to have a
Well, I was going to say, I thought it did take a lot, but yes, there's a difference
to be a massage therapist, yes.
To be one and then to be exceptional, yes. And
yeah.
You strive for that 100%. Yeah.
I do for sure.
And you, but not to strive, you are. You've tried helping me with yoga. Full disclosure, I'm just terrible at it. My wife raves. When we were talking about even doing this podcast, and I was telling my wife, I was like, yeah, I'm Berg. And she's like, oh my God, yes. Because she understands everything. She was such a good instructor. Like, she'll be able to explain things even on the podcast. And I was just like, oh, yes, Berg. Yes. Anyways, sorry.
Yeah. So I think it's interesting and sort of frustrating to me that the health and wellness are two different things. Mm-hmm. Nevertheless, they are listed separately when you're categorizing your business on Facebook or taxes or
Wix.com,
whatever.
Anything. Yep.
Yep. Health and wellness are two different things. But anyway, here we are. And I'm excited for this podcast because there's tons of stuff to talk about related to it's. It's all connected. It's all related. And I think if there's anything that I could like quickly pass on to people listening or watching, is there's nothing so small that it doesn't matter. Everything matters. Like, if it's the littlest thing, it matters. And it's just, it's a process of figuring it out. And I think the one thing that you said in the last episode, I want to say it again, and I do want to get back to it. What do you want? I think that is a big, big question. I have a story about what do you want, but I'm going to put a thumbtack.
Well,
in
let's
that.
No, let's do it. No, go. Let's oh. do it. Let's do it now.
Okay.
Let's keep the ball rolling.
Okay. So what do you want? I think is a very huge question. And I think it's one of those things that's like, it's simple, but it's not easy. There's a lot of things in life that are like that. Simple, but not easy. And, so that's a question that I asked myself 8 years ago. What do you want? What's your passion? And I made a life change. And then 3 years ago, what do you want? If you had all the money in the world, what do you want? I made a life change.
Mm. Yep.
Most recently ish, about a year ago. So I moved to Missoula for a man, but I always said in the back of my mind, like, if that doesn't work out, which it didn't, it was also primarily because of the mountains. And I mean, just Missoula is amazing. I mean, I've never been out west, came and visited, and oh my God, mountains, river, literally the river that runs through it is the river that runs through it.
And I finally watched that movie, but continue.
Yes. A river runs through it is in Missoula.
Yeah. I watched it finally though. Anyways, continue.
It's a good book too.
While I had COVID over Christmas, I watched it. Continue.
So two things were happening.
Relationship didn't work out.
That one didn't. And then it ended. And the night that it ended, I'm at my friend's house. I'm drinking heavily. And she's like, all right, write out on a piece of paper. Here's a piece of paper. Write out everything you want in a partner. And she's like, nothing's ridiculous. Write it all down. And I did. And I filled the page. And I kid you not, 2 to 3 days later. So I signed up for all the ridiculous like relationship apps. I did the Facebook relationship app. And I did OkCupid. And I think one other one. But I didn't. I paid for OkCupid 6 months. And all I needed it for was 5 days, apparently.
There you go.
But I didn't use it. But it was Facebook. It was the Facebook dating app. My friend, I write my my bio and overshare, which I'm wont to do. And anyway, so my friend is actually doing the swiping for me because, like, you've got a green check mark or a red X on people. She sees this guy and she's like, oh, he's good enough. Click. Anyway, so we went on a date and we've been together ever since.
A year?
A year and a half ish more.
There you go.
And 8 months.
There you go.
And like, this is my forever person. We fit together and he and I have been through like crazy stuff in life. So
you put it out to the universe.
I did. I put it out to the universe. And that is something that I wholeheartedly believe in. And that's like, just even yesterday, I told Clint, like, okay, so when the kids move and go to college, I think I'm going to use the room downstairs. I'm going to have people come here for massage instead of going to my yoga studio. And then I get an email this morning from somebody saying, hey, do you work on Saturdays? I'm like, well, I don't have the studio on Saturdays, but you can come to my house. And so it's working out.
There you go.
I've been taking it works together. So I've been taking this online course, this writing course through Berkeley. And at the time, so about a year ago, I was taking this class and it said, when you're writing a character, you ask yourself or you ask your character, what do you want? So if you're writing a baker named Jessica, what does she want? And mm-hmm. this is how you like build your character and all that. And it's funny. So like there was this big sticking point in my relationship, current relationship. I said, honey, what do you want? Because there were some things that I just, there was like this wall, like his past, my past, and trying to like blend. And like, we have things in common because we're the same age, but there's a lot of stuff that wasn't the same. And so like, there's this mm-hmm. awkward, like trying to mesh thing. And I'm like, I can't figure it out. So I'm like, honey, what do you want? And his response was, well, I know what I don't want. What I don't want is a long-term committed relationship. And I'm like, whoa, that's heavy for a Saturday afternoon. So because of that,
what do you want?
Yes. So because of that, we start going to couples therapy and we start like slogging through it. Like, what does that actually mean? Turns out he has a different definition of long-term commitment or commitment. He has a different definition of what marriage means than what I do because of his life experiences.
Sure.
And after going through months of couples therapy and tons of talking, we ended up getting conversation cards. Different kinds of conversation cards. And we do that every month. We pull out a handful of cards each, talk about those. We write little notes to each other to read to each other the next month. Mm-hmm. And that has, with patience and love and compassion, it's has not been easy. But digging through, oh my God, tons of work to dig through and to really figure out like, okay, we actually want the same things. He just has a different definition than I do. That's it. But that to me is such a crucial question to ask yourself or somebody else. And you think about like, so I thought, because I am also a writer, I think about things from a writing standpoint, like, okay, I'm trying to write this character. I don't know anything about my character. What do you want? I'm like, well, I don't really know this guy. What do you want? And that's a big question.
Sure.
So, you know, ask yourself, what do you want? And be prepared for that can of worms, and having a journal is helpful. Well,
100%. And I think what you just said also is there's a difference between, you know, I for years, this is a slight tangent.
It's all a tangent.
With the, well, yes. No, it's not. This is all intentional. The Briggs and Meyer test, right? So at dinner on Saturday with friends, we were talking about like, where were you? Did you do it? And then I was like, oh yeah, I think I was at, I said I was an I think that's what I said. I was an INTP. And then it took me years. Like every time I took the test, that's what it kept coming up as, which fit most part, very much so, even my life path up to that point. And then finally, years later, I realized, oh no, I was an INTJ. What I wanted to be was an INTP, but that's interesting. I was an INTJ, right? So like, even when you're making your list of what do you want, you also even need to be honest with yourself about what do you think you want? What do you think you should want? And still not, that's a different space. Again, this goes back to the little micro memories that we have when we formed when we were little, that all these things that were so impressionary on us that are so hard for us to break because we literally get central nervous system anxiety when we think about making big changes like that. If it is a big change, or even if it's a little change. But like being really cued in, like the work that you guys did, which was what he thought he wanted, which may have just been a war of words, or really actually he didn't know what he wanted, and what he wanted was you, but he didn't know it, right? Yep. Or he thought he wanted whatever. So, I mean, that's the same in anything in our lives when we're looking at a different job. You know, it's the whole question of is the grass always greener on the other side, or do you just fertilize your own stuff? You know,
right?
And make it that way. So no, I think that's critical. I mean, and I do think it goes back to as well, you know, how did you hear about that Jen Sincero book?
Was it me?
Yeah, okay. Yes. I was just making sure. I thought so. But I didn't want to take credit. I was like, I'm pretty sure it was me, but 100%
take credit. Oh my God.
So that was like an earth shattering book to me, clearly, because I shared it with talking to you. And I think I sounded a little wackadoodle when I was talking about it, but,
passionate.
Thank you. I appreciate, I'll take that. I am a little doodle every once in a while. But I don't even remember how I came upon it, to be honest with you. I genuinely don't, but I know that when I read it, I was kind of like, this is super, super intriguing. I've never thought this way. It does gel. But this is kind of not trying to be boring here, but it ties into, I am a person, I will now use the term universe, but to me it's synonymous also with God. So I tend to be of the more spiritual leaning. But I was able to read this book and it still resonated with me in a spiritual way, even resonating with God in a positive way. And I think that there's a lot of people whether whatever your universe, your God, your spirituality, if you have a bad experience and all of a sudden you want to turn away the universe, I mean, literally just the universe, not even talking about as a synonym God, like if you throw that out there that you're like, doesn't matter, it's going to be, nothing's going to change, nothing's going to get better, you're dang right. Nothing's going to get better. And whatever energy is out there, it's heeding that, and you're going to keep digging that hole. And the thing is that I am an experiment of that. Years and years and years, I dealt with this. I have family members who have dealt with this. I have friends who have dealt with this. And then for me to take that leap of saying, what do I want? What is possible in a positive light? I mean, for those that have had a traumatic, I'll just speak in the spiritual space of God or otherwise in the Christian faith, that have had a exhaustive, mostly negative experience, or that anything related to that should be negative and self-whipping. This is totally different. And it totally, literally restores, for some people, their faith, restored my faith. My faith was not gone, but it definitely replenished it. And what's happened since then is nothing short of the cheesy word miraculous, but true. Like, it just like the leaps and bounds that you took, I took some leaps and bounds. And it's amazing how people enter your life that you aren't expecting, or some people come back in your life. It's not accidental. And it, and I did put intentionality out there of this is going to need, I need this. I'm going to, this needs to somehow, again, it's a tricky word, manifest itself. This needs to come to be. But all of this ties back into the, what do you want? And when we're talking about the health space, like, what do you want? I mean, everything you just said you went through with Clint, not you went through, but that you guys worked through, took work and energy. And going, kicking it back to health, if somebody doesn't feel well, if they're chronically exhausted, if they are chronically stressed already, if they are dealing with emotions only through consumption or addiction, there very much so is a low ability towards making health or healthy changes. And I think that that's a big deal. And I don't think that somebody saying, oh, well, you all these things may need to be going on some space, maybe not through a very direct route, saying whether it's getting counseling or this or that. Like, there's a lot of money that happens to do these things, and a lot of time and a lot of privilege for some people to be able to take off time to go talk to a counselor face-to-face or whatever. Like, we are, in this podcast, we are totally aware that there are limitations to time, energy, and money. So, but on some level, everybody has to start doing some of the work. You got to start asking the question, what do you want?
Yep.
You got to start asking, I think the next question when we're talking about health is, how do I want to feel? How do I want to feel?
Yep.
Do I want to feel frustrated? Do I want to feel tired carrying the groceries up the stairs and the laundry? Every time I have to go up and down those stairs, it reminds me of my quality of life is not what I want it to be. Is it just because you're tired? Is it just because you don't feel like you should be living in this house that has stairs because your body can't handle it? Or is it because you can actually change your body and take on those stairs? And that's a side story. There's something else that's going on there.
Right.
Right. But like, we don't realize that we carry these burdens on us and in our body, and how we feel and how we move through the day impacts everything. Our mood, how we interact with people. If you're tired and you're not thinking well and otherwise, and then you go into work, what's the first thing you do? You snipe at your coworker. Mm-hmm. You're not the most pleasant person. You're not the most positive person in group meetings. Like, you got to think about what is all of this? So what do I want? How do I want to feel? Mm-hmm. And I think you can leave that open. You can tick off everything that needs to happen, whether it's relationships, kids, what you're eating, how you're moving, how you're sleeping, all of it. But you got to start, you're right. You got to write this stuff down. Because if you don't write it down, you don't identify it, it doesn't mean anything. It's just another, well, someday I'll get to it. And that's, I think it's not important. What this podcast is about. It's about action.
And I think that when you're asking the question, you have to make a pact with yourself to be honest. Like,
because, yeah, exactly.
Man, you know, if you're what not going to admit it. If you don't admit like that the relation, that there's something with the relationship, or that again, like just like the littlest things, or if you have been, to your point about like these little sort of microaggressions, like if you were raised to believe that as a woman, you should always be able to blah, 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 or you can't do blah, 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 then, you know, those are the things as well as being honest and saying like, or like digging through to find the honest truth about why you feel a certain way. And that's not easy.
Hey, you know, let's take it even one level deeper for those so they don't feel isolated. If they're like, I have literally never let myself go into that space and ask, what do I want? I'm totally clueless. I have, and if this feels like a vacuum to you and you're listening to this and you're like, I just want to cry and melt right now because I have no flipping clue. I've never even let my brain, my heart, anything about me go into that because I'm so afraid.
Because I don't deserve it. On earth.
Yeah. I mean, I'm getting teary eyed just thinking about this for people. I mean, I've had this moment in my own journey, but like, it's okay if you're in that space and that you're at ground. I don't want to say that word, but you're at the beginning and that's okay.
Yep.
And some level, maybe it's even easier because then you're not unwriting a script, as the writer might say. You're literally writing it brand new, a whole new novel. No rewriting, just allowing yourself to go into that space. And, you know, for people, I struggle currently with kind of what you were talking about with some of that wellness space. And here we are. I haven't even talked about why I'm here, but this is all relevant, I think. So we're going to keep going. I struggle with the idea that everybody should just be happy with who they are right now.
Yep.
Because I think that can breed a very societally, it's kind of a selfish notion putting mediocrity on everybody. And I don't know that that's fair. And I don't know that that's the right solution to pitch to people. Because if people actually do something along the lines that we're suggesting that we think is a useful thing for somebody to kind of go through as an exercise of the beginning of their health journey of like, what do I want? How do I want to feel? And then starting to identify these things. And like in the previous podcast, talking about what are these little blocks? What are these microaggressions? What are these things that just exhaust me thinking about it, but I could take one little action to make things better. Like, I don't think it's fair for people to be sold the idea to stay where they are, you know, and interestingly, and this will kind of lead back into my backstory eventually, but I'll say this now. You and I both lived in a identity that I think we were afraid to leave, not because we didn't want to, not that we actually didn't feel like in our heart that we were supposed to grow and do something else, but it was honestly very much so a fear of condemnation because most people don't like change. And a lot of people can't understand where somebody else's journey is going. Because nobody likes being left behind. And I understand that. But if everybody else is on their own journey going to their own destination, nobody would feel like they're being left behind. There wouldn't be this passive aggressiveness. There wouldn't be, you know, well, they just need to stay in their lines, right? In their lanes, whatever it is. And it's like, well, really? That's not very fair, I don't think, right? And so I struggle with this health notion of whatever you are, just be happy and be peaceful. Because what I know as a practitioner, as a clinician, as a physician, as an allopathic physician who's gone down this course of actually trying to get people not just to look good on labs, but actually feel better as well. Two things. I feel like a lot of practitioner spaces, it's one or the other. That commonly it's not, this is not a good path for people just to be content who you are. Not saying don't be content. That's the wrong thing. But like selling mediocrity to people. People should feel better. The default, I've said this for years. I need to like trademark this. The default is disease in the United States. So if somebody's just going through life and they think what they're doing right now is the best that they can feel, I'm not a gambling person. Oh, that's, I lied. every once in a while I'll do a penny slot if I get the opportunity with my wife, because it was her grandma's tradition. But anyways, but like otherwise, very genuinely, they can feel better. But it's a real game of mediocrity to pacify yourself into thinking this is as good as it can be. And this is not to bring doubt or to shame or to make people feel bad about themselves. It's actually, once you flip and you actually start feeling better, you're like, I didn't know this was possible. And this is the same thing that you've said multiple times, which is, you don't know what you don't know. And you've told me, even when we were catching up, about how there was a point for you that until you changed one thing, you did not know that you could feel a certain way. And eventually we'll talk about that. But like, and you're, you know, I mean, honestly, in the American sense, you're the kind of a picture of health, like genuinely physically active, health endeavored, health centered, trying to be energy centered, like all of these things that are very good and important. But, and yet you still, you told me some things, how you were feeling, you made a change, you took action, and you said, this was different, hopefully better, but different, right? But people don't know different unless they actually can take action on it. So here's that. What else you got to add on about yourself real quick, Berg? Is there anything else? I think I interrupted you, so I didn't want to.
No, that's great. Like we'll talk about me more throughout the whole podcast. Let's hear about your story.
Oh, well, I'll see if I can truncate it, God willing. So, I mean, I'm a board certified family medicine doc, but I'm allopathic trained. I grew up in a family of physicians. I thought I was going to be a surgeon because I'm very much so a personality of A to Z, problem solution. The truth is family medicine was it was my worst grade in medical school, which was not that bad, but still in my clinicals. I very much so, I think, struggled with the idea of not actually making health impact and, quote, managing health. And I think family medicine and general practitioners and internal medicine, unfortunately, in a lot of the subspecialties, it's not actually about creating health, it's managing disease. And I think I just really had this internal conflict, because that's not how my personality is. I mean, in any of the personality tests I took, I had complete scoring of what a surgeon's mentality should be. But on the flip side of that, I also had, I think, a part of my heart and soul and never wanting to harm anybody, to my own detriment, to be honest with you. And so here's this conflict, but I did go down this path of family medicine. So there was a time, you know, my backstory and a personal level that, you know, I don't really have a problem disclosing at this stage of my life, but we lost my mother, who was a nurse, to medical malpractice. So I understand the traumas of that. You know, and I watched my dad and my brother, who was a resident in the program at the time, and my sister, who was a nurse, and I watched all these people with all these big brains trying to figure out what was happening with her and struggle emotionally, intellectually, what was going on, etc. So without going into those details, but like, so this has been something that's been ingrained in me. There's a long line of other Bartletts that are mostly in Missouri that are also physicians. And so it's, I don't want to say it's in the blood, but there's a leaning towards it. And there are some traits of it that we've all picked up on. And I mean, for a long time there, I actually thought about going to podiatry school, ironically, because I was like, I like helping people move and I like surgery and I was okay with the foot and the ankle. And anyways, that's another side story, but like I ended up going to medical school. And you know, it's an interesting space because I look now and I tried very much so not to do the comparison game, because when you're in medical school, that pressure's on you. So when I left, honestly, I didn't really want to know what a lot of my peers were doing with their careers or otherwise. And then somebody reached out like in the last month. Hey, Amit, if you're listening. And I thought, oh, I like that guy. He was a real sweetheart in medical school. So, and then it took me down this path of like looking at all my previous medical school co-graduates. And what I found fascinating is that on some level, the majority of them, I don't think went into clinical medicine. I think they went into some space that was health tech, health management. It was more at the macro level instead of at the micro of like the one-on-one. And I find that really fascinating, because I think for mental health of physicians, there should have been some discussion of how you can be macro and micro. And instead, all we were taught was micro, and also you sacrifice yourself and you're never allowed to think about yourself. And perhaps some people will be high earners, some people will not. And you may still have the same workload. Like, it doesn't matter. But, and I think I bring this up, well, this is kind of a long way to get there, like why everything that I'm doing now and that I've been working on for the last year and a half and this big decision of just focusing on metabolic health and why it resonates so strongly is so relevant and very much so not accidental. Like, I have been moving through all of these steps over time that have gotten me here. And so quickly, so I, you know, I did my residency in family medicine in Columbus. I moved to Seattle. I thought I was going to be forever attending in Seattle. I love Seattle. I was there for a year. And I was like, this is like prison in paradise because I can't do anything because I'm chained to my office. I can't go running. Mm-hmm. I can't go fishing. I can't just, like, and I was so exhausted by the end of my days. I didn't want to. And I was not of the health status. I was eating Quiznos every lunch, an Italian sub every lunch. You know, rocking my blood sugar every chance I got. If somebody ran to Starbucks, I'm sure I got some type of chocolate latte back then, or macchiato or mocha or whatever. Like, there was nothing that was working for me looking back. I was so proud of myself because I was juicing in the morning with some spinach and blueberries and stuff like that, and orange juice, and mm-hmm. just like rocking my blood sugar. So I was just like a grump by 10 a.m. and exhausted, totally exhausted. And so anyway, so I left Seattle and I went back and I worked in an ER with my brother in West Texas. Decided I like the ER work, so I'm going to move to West Virginia to a larger ER group. Was in West Virginia, started dating my now wife, who was back in Columbus, and so that was it. That's the easy solution, is that was not a good drive from Columbus to West Virginia, Huntington, West Virginia. So I made the leap, I moved, came up to Columbus, worked in urgent care, worked in doing pre-admission testing. And so all of these things I mentioned because I thought I understood what the breakdowns were based on these previous positions and giving care, that these were the shortfalls of healthcare for actually creating health movements in people. I thought it was just an access problem. So people don't have enough time with their doctor. People can't get a hold of their doctor. There's a mentality of the patriarchy, whether you're whatever gender you are, it didn't matter. That presupposition was still there. And so when I started hearing about this way back when, very novel concept around 2000, I think it might have been around 2014 was the first time I heard about direct primary care. That's when I was like, oh, I'm gonna marinate on this. This may be the solution to things. And because I could see the breakdown in healthcare otherwise. Okay, you know, well, these people, they don't like waiting in a doctor's office, so they go to urgent care. They don't have insurance, they'd rather pay cash, they go to the urgent care. ER, and it was this whole thing. Oh, well, everybody who goes to the ER are high utilizers. That's a problem with our healthcare system and spending. Not true in my experience, actually, especially when I worked at the urgent care. I couldn't get people to go to the ER because they were so worried about the cost. But anyways, so, you know, all of these things. And so I opened my direct primary care practice, and it was a huge leap. It was the first in Columbus. We're a very Democratic-based community that is very pro-insurance, pro-universal insurance. We've got three amazing healthcare systems. So there was a lot to compete with on ideology and access. But my heart was still there that this was worth the try, because I thought that this would be the fix. And I give a lot of credit to that practice because it helped me learn about people and what people really need in a different way, in a different space, about being heard, about making lifestyle interventions, about, it gave me the space to hear when people said, I don't want to be on blood pressure medicine forever. What can I do? Or is there anything else I can try before taking a statin? It allowed me to hear them, not just listen to them, but actually hear them. And that was a different experience for me. And so it took me down this path of, oof, I don't know, but I'm going to do some research and let's see if we can find something to try. Are you willing to try something? Like, I don't know. Like, here's some anecdotal stories of this or that. Here's some research. Here's some mice models. Like, we're just not there yet in medicine, but we can try stuff if you're willing. If you're willing to be compliant and check labs so we know really what's happening. And that's how that's how MetaboLab came to be, which was, you know what, at the end of the day, this is what I love. This is what I'm passionate about. This is what's synergistic with my personality as far as actually trying to make real change, definitive change for people. But there's also a little compliance that has to happen for people, which is the same thing in surgery. If somebody doesn't change their wound dressing, they're going to get an infection and their bowels are going to fall open. You know, like we got to, some common sense here and some commitment is actually really required. And so I feel like that was the one hardship with direct primary care, was that the model, the price was so affordable that it didn't really glean a level of commitment for many, unfortunately. But it gave me the exposure to understand this absolutely is a possibility. This absolutely is a necessity. This absolutely can work. I just have to take it to the next level. And also, I didn't have the ability, like I do now with the MetaboLab Clinic, to test certain things. And so here we go, wrapping up. Who am I? What do I care about at this point? It's how do I get people, these big ether conversations that we just had in the last podcast and the beginning of this one, understand that stuff about people, get people to think that way so that when they come to my clinic and they start getting the data they need and the prospects to start making changes, they can actually execute quickly and have success so that they don't stand in their way. So they don't let somebody else block them from what they should have. Because, you know, we kind of put our blinders on when it comes to health stuff because we don't really want to be blamed and we don't want to be nasty and blame other people. But really, some people in our lives are literally to blame. Some people are actively sabotaging us. You know, your friends that are always saying, let's go get tacos and, you know, two pitchers of margaritas, you know, and they know you're trying to make health change. I mean, for those people that can do that and it's not impeding their health progress, they don't have a problem with that. Okay. I'm not saying it's the best thing in the world, but okay. But for people who are really trying to make changes and they've got people blocking them, this is what this is about. We got to talk about this stuff and we need to give, you know, the saying, if you can't name it, you don't know it. If you don't know it, you can't name it. And so it's like, well, look, we'll do the dirty work for you and make you think these things through so you don't feel guilty that you're a bad person. You should be grateful this person's in your life, whatever. You can be grateful that you're in their life and whatever. But also you can have the strength and empowerment possibly to have that boundary of, hey, this isn't working for me. We can meet up, we can do this, whatever, but like and for that person to stop texting you and calling you because you've set this boundary to, for them to honor it. And honestly,
yep.
Hey, if they don't honor it, probably shouldn't be in your life because they don't actually honor you. Right.
Yep.
They got some work they need to do. So, you know, this is all the stuff that my direct primary care practice really, which was family medicine, just in a different payment model, with more accessibility and more discussions with people, that gave me this honor to know people better and to understand what all kinds of different comers to my clinic's experiences, what blocked them. And the only thing that was really frustrating to me is that there were some pieces scientifically that I could not help them with that they needed. Like how many calories is their body burning? And instead we had to do this experimental thing trying to figure out, well, let's try this, eat this, log this. And it's exhausting. Nobody's got time for that. You know, you and I have talked about this exhaustively, Burke, but like nobody's got time for this stuff. And I think between you and I, we're also trying to get at, nobody's got time for people's BS if they're blocking you from your goals. You don't have time for their BS. You don't have time for their BS if they're blocking your health goals. Because if you're not feeling better, you probably can't tackle all this stuff in your life. You got to start there. I mean, and you've said this. People always put the self-care of last. Their job comes first. This kids come first. All these things. It's a very self-sacrificial thing of, well, there's no energy. There's no whatever. But the truth is, you know, hey, look at Honda. It's a silly example, but I think it really resonates, which is get efficient. Get efficient about your life. This is what we were talking about before, but like, the things that are in your space that are taking too much time, that are silly things, stupid things, frustrating things, how do you make those things better? Take action on it. One thing. If you can do one thing, one thing a day, that would be amazing. But let's just say if you could do one thing a week, that's 52 life-altering things that have cumulatively freed up your time, lowered your frustration, and made an impact. What? That's amazing. Anyways.
So I'm going to clean out my closet this weekend.
Yeah, you are. And you're going to love it. You're going to be like, oh, let the sunshine come through. Wait a minute. Hold on. Berg, say that again. What are you going to do? You're going to
clean
out?
I am going to clean out my closet. Yay!
Very good. And that's right. You are. So, I mean,
that's right.
All these little things. And so my clinic there was a time where I thought the concept of this clinic, MetaboLab, I should be the gatekeeper of who gets to come in and access me, because I didn't want people who weren't in the right mindset to try to access the science and then not be able to implement it and then be frustrated. Like, that's not useful. And I think this is my way now of getting people to ask themselves, are you in the right mindset to do this? I'm not going to be your gatekeeper. If you show up, hey, let's do it. Let's do the testing. Let's get it done. But I really want you having success. I really want you having breakthroughs if you're coming to my clinic. And I mean, that's it. There's a lot of things that just in these first two episodes that we've talked about that will stop somebody.
Yep.
And they're not things that you're going to talk to your doctor about. Period. Right?
Yep.
So, background, family medicine doctor, board certified, went to medical school in the Caribbean, St. Matthew's University. And I've had my own clinic since 2016. And I genuinely don't know that I could ever go back into the employed space in any type of traditional model this way, because I can't, because I know too much, unfortunately.
Yep.
And I want too much for people. Is that concise enough, or was that totally painful, Berg?
No, that was great.
So, but I think it matters. I mean, you know, sometimes I listen to a podcast and I'm like, what the hell does it matter to this person? You know, like, what do they care about? Anything, honestly. Like, who are you to say this? And sometimes it's like, it doesn't matter. It just is what it is. But I think if you're going to talk about stuff, you know, it's a strong word to say this, but this is intimate stuff for a lot of people. You know, people they're not honest about what they eat when they go hang out with their friends. You know, they say they eat this and then they go home and they eat whatever they're going to eat. You know, they say I love you, Berg, you kill me. You're always like, I shop on the outside of the grocery store. And I'm like, and now there's so many end caps full of crap that literally means nothing to me anymore.
Oh.
I know that you probably shop in amazing places that don't have that. So, but anywho, but you know, but it's like one of those things, like somebody, I know you, but like somebody else could say that and be like, I only shop on the outside of the grocery store. It's such a judgmental, you know, it's a point of pride. I know why they're saying it, but also anybody else that's listening to that, if they don't know the person and then they're like, Sally, but why aren't, not Sally, I wasn't trying to say like a person. Okay, person. You know, doesn't seem like it's making an impact based on what you said your goals were, whatever they are, you know. And so we all get one life. You know, when you're talking about Clint earlier, and you said, this is what I want, whatever, and I didn't want to like chime in and screw up your moment there. But like there were two, you said it was like three things, like your passion, your energy, what was it?
Authentic self.
Okay. So the irony is that when I was about to go to medical school, I read this book called Jesus CEO. And as silly as it sounds, it was phenomenal and it's a short little book. But the three things I took away, and I always try to tell my patients this, whether just in general, and I still remind myself and I remind my wife, but it goes kind of along those lines, which is guard your heart, guard your peace, guard your energy. And, you know, that's kind of boundary making in some ways, but also what you want. Those three things you talked about, those three things that I just talked about, all those things need to be held to in an accountability. Like, you know, not beat yourself up, but like process that. Guard your heart, guard your peace, guard your energy. You're excited about some new health thing you're doing? Don't go blatting it to people that aren't going to appreciate it and are so lucky to, so happy to kick you to the curb and tell you one more reason it's not going to work or this or that. Don't interact with joy killers. Like, don't do that to yourself. I mean, even your excitement, tell it to an animal, a tree, a bird, somebody else, but don't give that to people who are going to drain you.
Yep.
You know, so like realize when you may be in this space that's past the what do you want, how do you feel, and you're into the next thing of like action and excited, and then you say it to the wrong person, it's all over emotionally.
Yep.
You know? And then you said one other thing I'm going to circle back to, which was you were talking about when you were trying to figure out about the yoga, when you decided to start yoga. And for people out there who are like, I'm struggling so hard right now, just with my job. Like I hate my job. Strong word, hate, but let's just say, let's go there. I'm so miserable. I'm miserable right now. We're kind of in an interesting place after the pandemic where people are migrating, shifting jobs, becoming remote, all these things. But there's still a lot of people out there who hate their jobs, right? And some of them, unfortunately, are tied to it because of golden handcuffs, because their lifestyle won't accommodate anything else. So they can't make this big pivot, right? And so my wife is a professor at a small university around Columbus, Ohio. And, you know, I think a conversation that we have a lot is actually, I hope this ties in. I'm trying to really hard here because I think it's relevant, but it's also like when people say follow your passion, right? And then you follow your passion and it doesn't work for a job, because really what you should be doing is you should be getting good at something. Once you're good at something, you enjoy it, then you go further. Like there's been multiple books in business written about this, like don't follow your passion. Actually, what are you good at? Start there and see where that takes you. And I would say in health and in this life ecosystem that we're trying to help people realize and start to change and to manifest, it is, you know, let's start there. What are you good at for making a life change? Is there something in this, all the stuff that we're talking about, that there's one thing that you can say, this is an actionable thing that won't be so hard. And oh my gosh, it'll take me like a tenth of the energy and I'm going to get a hundredth of a return. Why haven't I thought of that before? Maybe start there of what you're good at. Instead of being like, I'm so passionate about my nutrition changes, I'm going to clean out the entire pantry and throw everything away right now. And then I'm going to regret it tomorrow because I was never mentally ready for that. Right. And I have no idea how to cook anything else and I don't have the right supplies. Blah, blah, blah. So it's like, what is that thing that you're probably really good at that can get you actionably one step closer, either in your life and towards a health change?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, maybe we'll circle back and we can come up with a list of things. I mean, to me, it's like easy things, kind of like you said, which is like, you know what? I got a bunch of Pyrex. I'll just start using Pyrex to portion out my food, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and we'll talk about this idea more, but like when it comes to shopping, like in our family, in our household, we shop one day a week. We do not make this up. I got to stop by the grocery store on the way home. You want to talk about an energy suck and a life suck and hate everything about yourself, your job, your life, your car, your bank account, and the grocery store people that work there, even though they didn't do anything wrong to you, but you're just so angry. Anyways, you really, you know, what are these little things? Like, take the energy. It's 30 minutes of pain, maybe, when you start doing this, maybe an hour of one day a week that saves you how much time in the car, waiting in the line, walking up and down the aisles, all the temptation every time you go into the grocery store. One day a week, you go in and you do all your shopping wherever you go. So for us, it's Aldi, it's Costco, it's Trader Joe's, maybe very rarely, occasionally Kroger and Weiland's local meat market. So, you know, what are these little things? We've got to start thinking little. We've got to start identifying ourselves. We have to start thinking. We can't be passive. We can't settle for mediocrity. Disease is the default. All of these things. So that's my take on all of this and why I care. This is why I was always so glad and fortunate to get to know you, Berg, because it came from two different angles. And literally, it's amazing how the universe has marched us closer and closer that we like pretty much see eye to eye on this stuff.
I agree. Yeah. And here we are.
Well, I think this is a good ending spot for the moment.
I think so.
Until next time.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of Metabolab, Your Biohack, with Dr. Heather Bartlett. If you wouldn't mind, please hit the like button so we can share more content with similar-minded biohacking folks. And as always, please feel free to share on your social channels if you found value in today's podcast. If you're interested in working with Dr. Bartlett, please feel free to learn more at www.metabolab.clinic. Again, that's www.metabolab.clinic.
Disclaimer, the previous podcasts and content are not medical advice. Always seek counsel with your own private clinician before starting any new health-impacting life changes.